To God be the glory for all the great things he continues to do in our lives. As you know, he is Lord. He is Lord, and I give him praise and glory. Let me remind you that this is Palm Sunday, time that we celebrate the triumphant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into the holy city of Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28, it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should hold or keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. The text before us on this Palm Sunday is part of a messianic promise that is revealed in the Old Testament. Just as the birth of the Lord Jesus was established in the Old Testament prophecy, the triumphant entry of our Savior into the streets of Jerusalem was also prophesied. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the fall of a donkey. In the Zechariah passage, the inhabitants of Jerusalem were personified as the daughter of Zion and the daughter of Jerusalem, who, representing the whole nation of Israel, were exhorted to welcome the coming king, not with fear, but with glad rejoicing. In the Zechariah text, the prophet of God announces that the king is coming, which refers to the long-awaited Messiah. You remember the various prophecies concerning the Messiah, don't you? Isaiah chapter 9 says in verse 6 and 7, for unto us, hallelujah, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You remember Micah's prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and 4. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be a ruler in Jerusalem, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, you remember in verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The prophet describes the character and reign of the king as just or righteous. And he comes having salvation, meaning he comes as a deliverer, as one who gives salvation to others. Isaiah 62:11, indeed the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Zechariah declares that the Messiah will have a peaceful entrance. This declaration was fulfilled in the sermon text for the moment. In the ancient Near East, if a king came in peace, he would ride on a donkey instead of on a war stallion. Scripture declares Christ rode on a foal, literally son of a donkey. He didn't come as a human conqueror. He came as the Lord of Peace. And as the Lord of Peace, though riding upon transportation of peace, the outcome in the days ahead will proclaim him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The text before us introduces us to Jesus presenting himself as the Messiah, the Anointed One, which means the one anointed by God and empowered by God's Spirit to deliver his people and establish his kingdom. In Jewish thought, the Messiah would be the King of the Jews, a political leader who would defeat their enemies and bring in a golden era of peace and prosperity. However, in Christian thought, the term Messiah refers to Jesus' role as a spiritual deliverer, setting his people free from sin and death. The word Messiah comes from a Hebrew term that means anointed one. Its Greek counterpart is Christos, from which the word Christ comes. Messiah was one of the titles used by the early Christians to describe who Jesus was. Up until this point, Jesus avoided being called Messiah. He spoke of it privately, but told his disciples not to reveal it publicly. You remember in Mark chapter 8, that verse 29, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he charged them that they should tell no one about him. This is known as Jesus' messianic secret. He was the Messiah, but he did not want it known publicly. And the reason for this is that Jesus' kingdom was not political, but spiritual. Jesus made this clear to Pilate when he was interrogated by him. In John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. If Jesus had used the title Messiah, people would have thought he was a political king. But Jesus understood that the Messiah, God's anointed one, was to be the suffering servant. Isaiah 52:13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Isaiah 53:12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." The fact that Jesus was a suffering Messiah, a crucified deliverer, was a stumbling block to many of the Jews. They saw the cross as a sign of Jesus' weakness, powerlessness, and failure. They rejected the concept of a crucified Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God," hallelujah, "through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request the sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." But this is the hour for the Master to reveal who he is and what he has come to do. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. To those who will believe that he is the only begotten Son of God, today, this day, this Palm Sunday 2014, we are not let inanimate objects cry out in our place. Luke records that it is time for Jesus to go to Jerusalem. It is time for him to make his grand entrance. He leaves nothing to chance. He prepared his way for the entry. Read Luke 19, verse 28. We read that at the beginning, but read it for yourself. The first point today is, when I know Jesus, a rock is an unacceptable alternative. The Lord has set his face toward Jerusalem, the place of his destiny. In just a few days, he will surrender his life for our redemptive purpose. The moment had arrived when he is going to announce himself as the promised king in the center of the Holy Land, so that the people can finally take sides for or against him. Long before the Apostle Paul quotes it, Jesus already knows the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus is not going into Jerusalem to accept with a great outward military force and power. No, he will enter the holy city as the Prince of Peace. So he sends two of his disciples to go into town and pick up a coat. He tells them that they will find the coat tied, and that if the owner of the coat has any questions while they are loosing the animal, they need only reply, "The Lord has need of him." I came by to tell somebody on this day that the Lord has need of you. The Lord wants you to work in his kingdom. The Lord has need of you. The Lord wants you to become one of his disciples. the Lord has need of you. From this, it appears that Jesus was no stranger to the owner of the colt. I'm sure the Lord has passed through Bethpage on more than one occasion, and the owner of the colt already knew him as Lord and honored him to such an extent that he and his family would allow the colt to be taken to Jesus without any opposition. It was as though the owner of the animal, after finding out the colt, no rock, cry out in my place. Whatever I have, if Jesus needs it, I'm going to give it to him joyfully. I came by to tell you that it is important that we let no rock cry out in our place. At the closing of the message, Jesus, as he came through the city, the people were crying and they were rejoicing. They were celebrating because Jesus was the Lord, the Most High God. And in addition, the crowd called upon Jesus himself as the blessed King that comes in the name of the Lord and as his representative and deputy. In other words, as the Messiah was coming, peace has been established between God and his people so that the All Highest is now truly glorified. So then, as he went by, the people were trying to rebuke the disciples. In Luke 19, and it said, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And that's the message on this Lord's Day, is that I'm not going to let any stones, I'm not going to let any rock cry out in my name, because I know God has been good to me. And if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you ought to cry out, Hosanna, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't let any rock cry out for you. You cry out. You give God glory. You honor the Lord of Lords. You honor the King of Kings. You honor the great I am that I am. Don't let no rock cry out for you. If he's healed you, tell him, thank you, God. Thank you for my healing. If you've been saved from the wrath to come, say, God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, God, for defeating death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, God, for resurrection morning. Thank you, God, for suffering, but your suffering was not in vain, because 3 days later you rose with all power of heaven and earth in your hand. So we come today and say to you, give God the praise, give God the glory, give God the honor. God bless you.